Pastor, we want to join in that welcome this morning. And Roger, just to say again to Voices, it was incredible. I knew when those four guys came out with those music stands, we were going to get down to business out here. So that was unbelievable. And we do say thank you for not only your investment in serving us today, but thank you, Preston Wood, this morning for your worship. Isn't it a joy, especially in the Christmas season, to be able to worship a God that loves us and is full of grace and has brought us here today? It's something that we can say together as a church family. As I was listening to those guys raise their voices in song, my heart was so stirred to think about how good of a God we serve this morning. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a good, faithful, gracious, generous God. And that's the message that we want to share with you today. Pastor did an unbelievable job in the 9:30 service of sharing this word that we're entitling, So This is Christmas. What is Christmas really all about? This month, in the month of December, we're preaching just through the idea of what it means to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. And we want to talk today for just a little while about the joy of generosity. What does it mean to excel in our generosity? Because if this really is going to be the Christmas season that God wants us to have, and we go about it the way He wants us to go about it, I believe the Scripture is going to encourage and exhort us this morning that we ought to excel in our generosity. And the Christmas season, this is the time for us to excel in as many ways as possible. I want to always be excelling as a husband and as a dad and our family. And actually, I had an opportunity not long ago. My wife asked if I would run over to Hobby Lobby. I don't know if you're familiar with Hobby Lobby, but it's where all of your dreams will come true. And so she said, hey, could you run over to Hobby Lobby? I've got something. I need some special packages. Now, men in the room will resonate with this. Ladies, when you tell us to go get a special Christmas package, we, in fact, don't know what you're talking about. But we will go in faith and try because we want to excel as a great husband. So I found myself walking in the doors of Hobby Lobby, and the Christmas cheer just rested upon me. But I was immediately concerned because the small, simple baggies that my wife had sent me to find, which no doubt she would have found in 13 seconds, I found out real quick I was in trouble. The choices in Hobby Lobby for Christmas-themed gift bags are, well, there's a multitude of them, okay? And so I did what any wise husband would do. Within about 36 seconds, I called my wife and put her on FaceTime. Don't act like you haven't done it. You do it all the time. I put her on FaceTime and I said, sweetheart, I just want to make sure I get this right. Can you just kind of show me where it is what it is that I'm looking for here? And I went to the first option and it was not the right option. She was very kind, like she always is. She said, no, keep looking. And within a minute or two, she was being very patient. I was getting a little discouraged. I mean, I've been to seminary. I've got some training, but I was striking out. I was not excelling in this moment. And as if the Lord just provided, or maybe it was just a coincidence, as I was on speakerphone with my wife on FaceTime, which watch out for that, be careful, okay? All of a sudden, a hand just emerged in front of me holding the exact baggie that Michelle was looking for. And I've got me and my wife on FaceTime, and this very kind lady next to me said, here, sir, don't bother. This is the one she's looking for. And all of a sudden, I was no longer shopping for the baggies. My wife and this lady were having a nice conversation on FaceTime. We got the right baggies. All was well, and I got to excel as a husband in that moment. That lady was very nice to help me out in that moment. I mean, this is the Christmas season. We ought to be excelling in every way. And the Word of God has an encouragement for you and for me today that we can excel in our generosity. Because, friends, when we excel in generosity, we are displaying the love of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul wants to teach us how to do it. And so we want to go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to look in a couple of places in 2 Corinthians today, but I want you to see in chapter 8, verses 7 through 9 specifically. And Paul's going to teach us how to excel in our generosity. So this is Christmas, you say. How do we be generous? Well, we're going to learn how together through this important passage in the Scripture. Now, just to give you a little bit of context of what's happening here, scholars tell us that the Apostle Paul spends probably 4 to 5 years of his ministry, AD 52 to about 57, trying to raise support for Jewish believers in Jerusalem, apropos for events of our day, Jewish believers in Jerusalem who were struggling in some cases in extreme poverty. And so while the Apostle Paul was still going all over the known Roman world, ministering to people, bringing the gospel, planting churches, along the way, he didn't want these believers in Jerusalem to be left behind. So in various instances in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul will challenge the Corinthian believers in a command to give. But here, he encourages them to be generous, to meet the needs of God's people, and to fulfill the work of the ministry of God's kingdom. He wanted them to excel in their generosity. So the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, Paul says this, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." The NIV will say, excel in this grace of giving. That's a very well-captured way of saying it. Verse 8 says, "I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Watch this. "That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Can we offer three thoughts today about how you and I can excel in our generosity this Christmas season? If we want to excel in this way in our Christian life, the first thing we must do is we must understand the reason why we should excel. And Paul says it to us right here. It's the grace of God that motivates our generosity. It's the very work and love and overflowing abundant grace of our Lord in that he sent his son Jesus to the earth. I love how Pastor said it in the first service. It's a riches to rags kind of story. Because the scripture says that the Lord literally emptied himself. He became poor. He poured out himself for me and for you by coming and putting on flesh, the incarnation, as we call it. And if you're new to church life, or if walking with Jesus is a little bit new to you, that word, maybe it sounds like a diet drink. I'm not talking about carnation. I'm talking about incarnation. And it's really an important term for Christians to understand. It means that when Jesus came, he was fully God and he was fully man. And God poured out on us, all of humanity, his very presence. And Jesus impoverished himself, one early church father said, by putting on flesh and walking the dusty roads of life with people just like us. And the Bible says that he experienced every level, every form of humanity, that he experienced every kind of temptation but was without sin, so that he could be the spotless, sufficient sacrifice for your sin and for mine on the cross. Men and women, today, it's the very grace of God that motivates our generosity. It's the sufficient grace of God. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God." Paul says in Titus 2:11 in the NIV, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." God has poured out all of his grace in all its sufficiency so that we could know all of him, so that we could give all of our lives for his glory. I'm telling you this morning, it's his grace that motivates our generosity. It's the reason why we give. You know, recent research tells us that Americans are now spending maybe as much as $60 billion, that's a B, billion, $60 billion annually on weight loss programs. In 2020, millennials were surveyed. 80% of them said their number one concern was their health. And you know what's going to happen here in a few weeks? December's going to wind down, and we're going to finish all the calorie bonanzas, Christmas parties that we go to, okay? And January's going to start, and we're all going to look in the mirror together, and we're going to say, I got to make some adjustments. I got to make some changes. And we're going to spend a few weeks in January, and we're going to get all the weight loss ideas, and all the ads are coming on TV, and the gym memberships and all the stuff. And most of us are going to work hard for about
27 minutes in January. We're going to get after it. And the reason why we're spending $60 billion as a culture is we just can't stay committed. We just, our commitment to ourselves often becomes halfway. Aren't you glad this morning that God didn't go halfway in his grace for you? Aren't you glad this morning? I'm saying this morning, aren't you glad that God didn't go just a little and stop in his grace for you? Aren't you glad that you don't live a spiritual Christian life where you've got the grace of God today, but you don't know about tomorrow? No, I'm glad to serve a God who's poured out all of his grace in all sufficiency, so all of my sin and all of my eternity is locked up in his love, and I can just excel in the life that he's given me to live. It's the grace of God. That's the reason why we're generous. But not only do we have a reason to be generous, but this reason, when I understand it, when we really get this in the soul of who we are in our walk with Jesus, then the reason manifests into a rhythm. And I want to just encourage you to be developing a rhythm of generosity in your life. What do we mean by that? Well, the word rhythm, I actually looked it up because although there are others in my family with musical talent, I am not he, okay? And so I had to go and look up the word rhythm to be sure I understood it. Listen to this definition. Rhythm is the movement marked by the regular recurrence of related elements. When you think about developing a rhythm in your giving, a rhythm in our generosity, we know the reason. It's the grace of God. What else can I do but give all of myself for the God who gave all of himself for me? But as I develop the rhythm in my generosity and my giving, I understand that there are items, there are components of my generosity that are related. And the two of them for the Christian are this: trusting in God and being faithful to his word. When Paul says to the Corinthian believers that I want you to excel in this, he says in verse 8, I say this to you not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of your love that it's genuine. And what he's doing here, Paul's actually building on what he's already told them before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see earlier here in one of the earlier letters of the Apostle Paul to these believers, he says in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, that means the offering, the giving, what we just did together a few moments ago. As I directed the churches of Galatia, so now also you are to do. Verse 2, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. The rhythm of a committed follower of Jesus in our generosity is built on the trust that we have in the goodness of God and that he's going to provide for every need in our lives, and the faithful commitment that we've made to him to surrender all of who we are to all of who he is so that we can be obedient in every area of our life. Because you know, none of this stuff belongs to you. It's been said many times that we can either own things or they can own us. And the good news is, because God owns it all, if that's news to you, by the way, if maybe you don't live your life in a certain kind of appreciation and understanding for the reality that whatever it is you have, whatever good and perfect gift the scripture says, where does it come from? It comes from above. Everything good in my life, everything good in your life, every spiritual blessing, your family, every part of your financial life, your business, all of your ventures, all of it for the believer in the Lord Jesus fall under the lordship and the sovereign care of a loving Father. It all belongs to him. So what Paul's saying to the Corinthian believers here is not new. This wasn't a new encouragement. It was an existing command for all of the churches. Some folks come to church sometimes and they think, man, during Christmas season, can we talk about something else besides money? And I understand that. But in one sense, Christmas time is the best time. It's the ideal time to talk about not just money. If you boil down the issue of giving to just money, then you've missed the whole issue of what the scripture is talking about. What the Lord is talking to us about here is about generosity. It's about cheerfulness. It's about an overflow and an abundance of an appreciation for a loving and gracious God, and a desire, because we trust Him with every part of our life, that because God poured out His grace, I want to be fully committed to Him. Therefore, there's no part of my life that's not under His authority. Yes, up to and including, and of course, my financial life. Every part of my life comes under the lordship and the leadership of Jesus, so much so that we trust the Lord with our giving by trusting the Lord in our giving. And this is the faithfulness. This is the rhythm of trust and faithfulness working together. Paul's just building on what the people of God already knew and already believed. It would be like saying, oh, I am excelling in my Christian life. I mean, look what he says. He commends them in verse 7. He says, your faith, your speech, your knowledge, your earnestness, your love. Corinthian believers, you excel in them all. But don't forget to excel in this grace of giving. It would be like you and I saying, Lord, I excel in faith. I excel in my speech, in my knowledge, in my earnestness, in my love. But you are not welcome to my money. For a believer to say that there's no place in my life that God can't have, but then for us to exclude that one of those places is for it all to be excluded. So for me to say, well, I'm generous in all of it, Lord, except this, means I'm not generous in all of it. In the same way, Jesus rebuked the Pharisee. The Pharisee would walk in and say, Lord, look how much I give. And not only would the Pharisee say in his heart, look how much, but I mean, he would literally sort of like, you know, kind of like pass it out in real time, like sort of. I think the Pharisees, when they took up their offering, they had ones, not hundreds, and they slowly counted them one at a time so everybody could see. You know what I'm talking about? And Jesus comes after that kind of thinking. And he says, listen, if all you're interested in is throwing money at me as some sort of way of saying, okay, if I'm giving money in this way, then that's the extent of faithfulness, then you've missed the whole message. It's about not withholding anything from God and not holding anything back from God. Trust and faithfulness working together. This is baked in all throughout the New Testament. It's baked throughout all of the scripture, going all the way back to the earliest patriarchs of the faith who are giving an offering, Abraham, Jacob, and on, Joshua. It's in Proverbs chapter 3 when the scripture exhorts us in verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. That means God gets the very first at the very beginning as a sign of submission to his authority and a way for us to say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient, and because I trust you, giving to you with the first fruits at the first of the time, that all is my way of saying, Lord, I trust you with it all. So much so, friends, that the only reason we wouldn't give that way, now hear me on this, is because we don't trust the Lord, not only with the first fruits, but with any of it. And so what do we teach here at Prestonwood at this church? Yes, we teach unapologetically. We teach 10% tithing, but not as a number, not as that's all. We teach faithfulness, first fruits giving here, as a baseline of foundational faithfulness from which we grow together in developing a rhythm of generosity, because we want to give to the Lord, not because we have to give to the Lord. Listen, anybody that tells you, you better watch out, you have to give to the Lord or you're going to be in trouble, is missing the spirit of the text, and more, is missing the spirit of obedience that God wants us to share together. Now, we ought not rob God. Malachi 3 certainly says in verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if we will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Could it be that perhaps you are struggling to develop a rhythm of trust and faithfulness in your generosity today? Because you're worried that if you do, you won't have enough? Are you concerned that if you get serious about first fruits giving, that there's not going to be enough left over? Michelle and I decided, in just a few days, we'll be married 21 years. We decided, before we were married, we agreed together We knew life would have its ups and downs. We knew we were not perfect people, therefore we weren't going to be a perfect couple. But we decided, because of the testimony of our parents and our grandparents and the kind of home that we were raised in, we made a decision together as a couple. And I say this simply as a word of testimony and accountability for no other reason than to say this. It was something we just had a conviction shared together in our heart before we got married, that we were going to be faithful, that we were going to do all we could to always, always, always never withhold that which already belonged to the Lord, and that we were going to be faithful in our tithe. Now, yes, we were called to ministry. Yes, I grew up in a pastor's home. She grew up in a very ministry-minded home, faithful, faithful, faithful in our churches. In and through all of that, we understood. And we say this to young couples all the time. Before, I heard Ron Kelly say this not long ago. We say all the time to couples, before you get married, get on the same page about your finances. Some of y'all that already are married need to get on the same page about your finances. We need to do this, and we committed to it, and we've committed to it over the years. And all I would say to you is this. Not once, even including up to today, not once have we regretted giving all of that part of our life to the Lord. And friends, not once has God failed to meet and provide. Not every want, that's not what the scripture says, but to provide every need. In his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, God will do it. Would it be that today you would commit to the principle of developing a rhythm of trusting God and being faithful in every area of your life, and watch what he wants to do when you're fully surrendered to him. Because the reason we give is because of his grace, and we want to excel. And when we understand his grace, we are committed to developing that rhythm. And here's the third and final thought. When we do these things, what begins to happen, I believe, supernaturally in our lives, God begins to sensitize us to the needs around us, both just in our lives and as we expand his kingdom in partnership with the Holy Spirit, in such a way that we are asking the Lord, and here's the principle, to prepare us to respond. We have a reason because of his grace. We're developing a rhythm of trust and faithfulness so that we can be prepared to respond in those unplanned, unexpected ways when God would want to use you in some mighty way to advance and expand his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians, Paul actually says, and I love this, I think this is worth sharing. In 2 Corinthians 9, one chapter over, turn in your Bibles there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Here's what Paul says after encouraging these believers. He goes all the way down to this part, and then he kind of brings us to the final conclusion here of the big why. You know, so this is Christmas, right? This is Christmas, generosity, grace-filled, glory, God-glorifying generosity. This is Christmas. Paul says, yes, it is. And here's how I know. Because Corinthian believers, you're responding, and you're going to have an opportunity to continue to respond. And believers today at Prestonwood in 2023, we have the privilege and the opportunity to continue to respond to the movement of God and the work of God in ways we can't even imagine. Paul says in verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way. For what reason? To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. I want to put a slide on the screen as we close. Prestonwood, just to encourage you, and maybe you're a little bit new to our church, and maybe you're still kind of coming into this idea of understanding the reasons why we talk about something like this on a day like this. What's the reason? And man, Jonathan, I want to get into that rhythm. I get that. But I want to respond. Help me understand what we do as a church. Well, above and beyond the faithful tithes and offerings of you as a wonderful church family, I want you to see how you've been responding now for over 10 years through a ministry of our church called the Prestonwood Network. The Prestonwood Network exists to encourage and equip and to mobilize pastors and churches around the country and beyond to move the mission of God forward in cities all over North America. And I just want to show you this on the screen for you to see as a church what you've been doing, not only in your faithful giving, the rhythm of your giving, but then above and beyond, you've been responding for years now as a church body. 174 pastors and growing affiliate with the Preston Wind Network. That's 174 guys today who woke up this morning to say, I'm going to preach faithfully. Did you know in the Southern Baptist Convention, Mike, I saw this stat the other day. Did you know in our convention, the Southern Baptist Convention today, there's the number of guys that are going to preach to more than 1,700 people can fit on a passenger airline? About 160 men. The number of guys that are going to preach to 200 people or less today? 40,000. This is the exception to the rule, friends. And out there in the highways and byways and the unknown places and names of ministry, there are faithful guys today standing up, proclaiming the word of God in power, opening up the Bible, and preaching Jesus to a lost and dying world. And you're a part of it. Did you know of those pastors? 56 of them are church planters, guys who took their families from places like Florida and Mississippi and Alabama and Texas and beyond, and they felt a call of God to go to a dark and difficult city where most guys don't want to go, where it's not convenient and it's not easy and it's tough to raise your kids and the school system is difficult and the culture is dark. And these guys said by faith, I'm going to stand up and step out. I'm going to go plant a church in a difficult area. And Prestonwood, did you know that you're standing with them today when they stand up? I'm preaching to somebody right now. From west to east today, Hayden Ratner at Walk Church this morning in Las Vegas, Keith Baldridge at Living Stone in Broomfield, Colorado, Roscoe Lilly at Star Point Church in Albany, from the west to the east to the north in Canada. We've got La Chapelle Church there with our brother David Potier. They just baptized their 500th member right there in Canada, and they've been doing it for years. Church family, do you hear what I'm saying? You've been responding to the work of God. That slide, that dollar amount, those guys, when they preach this morning, listen to me, you're right there with them. You're in the pulpit today with them. Because we made a decision under the leadership of our pastor years ago that not only were we going to be serious about the ministry here within our city, but we were going to be serious about helping the gospel get to as many people as possible. Did you know that's the mission of Prestonwood? We want to glorify God by introducing as many people as possible to Jesus and developing them in their Christian living. Did you know that's what we're all about as a church? And that's what God wants us to be all about today. He wants us to excel like never before in our generosity. Yeah, this is Christmas. Christmas is about a generous God pouring out his grace and stirring our hearts to be his generous people. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Before we go today, it's our practice here as a church family. We don't ever want to share the gospel of Jesus without giving people an opportunity to respond. As we think today about what it means to excel in our generosity, and we realize that when we excel in generosity, we are displaying the love of Jesus, and that's exactly what God did for us. Maybe what today is for you and for me, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, is just an opportunity for us to say, like never before, not where we've been, but where we're headed, a prayer of commitment and dedication. Lord God, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and I'm stepping up and I'm stepping into faithfulness like I've never done before. God, I'm not going to withhold anything back from you. I'm going to live surrendered for you in every area and every way of my life. And maybe your invitation today is just simply for the Lord to stir a deeper commitment towards trust and faithfulness in your life. We may have some folks here within the sound of my voice, maybe worshiping with us online, who would say, I want to be more generous, but I'm in a tough season financially. I'm struggling right now. My faith is wobbly and wavering. And I want to believe God, and I want to be faithful, and I want to be giving, and I want to be tithing, and I want to be generous. But I'm afraid if I do, what will I have at the end? I'm afraid if you don't, what you'll miss out. And so maybe today it's just a commitment for you, follower of Jesus, to say, I'm going to step into a greater faithfulness, greater than I've ever seen in my life before, knowing that when I do, God will meet every need, and I will be obeying him, and he will bring to my life blessings I couldn't have seen, and I get to partner with the advancement of the gospel. There may be others here today who would say, you know, the fact of the matter is, I really am not ready to respond in my giving. I don't have any rhythms because I didn't even realize the reason all this was for. I've never experienced the grace of God in my life before. I've got issues, I've got baggage, I've got a past. If everybody knew all the things about me, I'd be so ashamed. I walked into the doors today and I'm more broken than ever this Christmas season. I'm not thinking about generosity. I'm thinking about all the times I should have turned left when I turned right and all the ways where things went wrong and I thought they were going to go a different way and I'm hopeless and I'm helpless. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I believe I'm talking to somebody in this room within the sound of my voice online who says, today is the day where I need to step into that grace you talked about. I'm tired of living halfway. I'm tired of wondering or worrying what tomorrow's going to bring. I want to settle it today. What you need is Jesus and a relationship with him. And so in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And when we sing, that's going to be your opportunity to step out in faith to receive the grace that God has given you and come and follow Jesus today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till later. Don't put off what you know you ought to do today by faith. Come and follow Jesus. The greatest response you could give is giving your life to the one who gave everything for you. And so, Father, that's our prayer. In a moment as we stand, God, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you move mightily and powerfully in this room, and that, Lord, if there be even just one that needs to come and trust you, that they do it by faith today. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, your gift of grace is free, it's available, and it's here. Lord, I pray that there be even just one today that would come by faith and receive it. Lord, we love you, and we surrender this time to you, and we pray it in your powerful name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.